the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father,
our Father,
our Father,
our Father in heaven,
your name be honored as holy.
Your kingdom come.
Your will be done
on earth.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our debts
as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us
from the evil one.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power,
and the glory forever.
Amen.
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 The first image that comes to my mind of holy is pure and white.
Jesus on the cross, light, white, and Jesus's blood.
Like a pure, shining white light.
I think of the light from the sunbeams coming down to earth.
These bright lights and golden gates.
Just a really bright light where it's just so blinding and there's nothing really in this world like that.
When I think of the word holy, I think of a pure white light.
The kingdom of heaven and Jesus sitting at the right hand of God.
Images that come to mind when I think of the word holy is pure.
I really think of Moses and how he would meet face to face with God and come out with this glowing face.
Something very pure.
Images that come to mind when I think of the word holy are bright, glowing, and pure white.
It's just kind of an example of what's perfect and almost untouchable.
Well, good morning. I pray that you and yours are well. We know that a whole lot of people are not right now, and we're praying for them and for this whole corona thing to be over as soon as possible. It's been a terrible thing for our country, and it's been a terrible thing for the world. Now, that being said, some people have pointed out some silver linings in this dark cloud, such as the improved air quality, especially in some of our more typically smog-ridden cities. Others are pointing out the reduced traffic, and with it, of course, reduced number of traffic accidents. Some car insurance companies are actually refunding portions of car insurance premiums because of all the less driving going on out there. We're told that wildlife is returning in greater numbers and sometimes wandering into new habitats they've never wandered into before. We've got people who are staying at home, more people working from home, and because of that, spending more time at home with their families. We have moms and dads who are spending more time with their kids, and that's got to be a plus for some homes. Dinner times are actually being served on the dinner table again, with whole families eating together around the dinner table and not just on the run or in front of the TV. Some extended families are actually seeing more of each other than they were seeing before, thanks to the modern technology of video conferencing. Close friendships are being reevaluated for the great treasures they are and that they've always been, but sometimes we've taken for granted. And pet adoptions, you've probably seen this, pet adoptions are at an all-time high, with many people rediscovering the comfort of a companion animal in their home. Now, we're not downplaying the seriousness of all this corona business. We're just trying to point to some blessings in disguise that might be coming at this time as well, including the opportunity to use some of this alone time to develop a more intimate prayer life with God. Now, that's what Jesus did from time to time. Jesus was known to get away and isolate himself to pray. And that's what we hope to do with some of this alone time that we've been given as well, to use it to learn how to pray and to pray like Jesus prayed. We're actually using the Lord's Prayer as our guide. And last Sunday, we looked at the very beginning of Jesus' prayer where Jesus said, pray like this. And then he said, Our Father, which art in heaven. And we talked about how Jesus compared God to a good earthly father who wants to hear from his children. And for those of you who missed that, you can watch that sermon again at lvcc.church/messages. lvcc.church/messages. And you probably should watch that if you haven't, because it's very important that we understand before we even begin that God wants to hear from his children just like any good dad. And only when we have that truth firmly in our grasp are we ready to make our first petition. And Jesus said that first petition should be this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We should pray that God's name be kept holy, or honored is what some of our more modern translations say. And I appreciate some of our life group members sharing some of the images that come to their mind when they think of what the word holy means. Now, the Greek word is hagiazo, and it's actually derived from a root word, hagios, which means awful. An awful thing. Now, not awful in the sense of bad or terrible, but awful in the sense of awful, awe-inspiring, wonder, filled with amazement, and commanding our reverence and respect. Now, that's where Moses found himself in front of the burning bush, being commanded, "Do not come near. Take the sandals off your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground." It's also where Moses found himself on top of the mountain, where Moses received the Lord's commandments, and where there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast so that all the people in the camp trembled, where Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire, and the smoke went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Bible says the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called to Moses to the top of the mountain. And Moses went up, and the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look, and many of them perish." An awful thing, awe-inspiring thing was happening. That's where Isaiah found himself, trembling in the very throne room of God in Isaiah chapter 6 of his prophecy. The prophet says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, and he was high, and he was lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew, and one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" That's what the angel said. What Isaiah heard was, "Danger, Will Robinson, danger," because the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I'm lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And that was no exaggeration on Isaiah's part. Isaiah knew that this was the God who banished the first couple who sinned against him from the garden and posted cherubim with a flaming sword that turned in every direction to keep the couple away from ever reentering. This was the God who rained down fire and brimstone upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah when they sinned against the Lord. This was the God who flooded the entire earth, destroying all mankind except one family among that sinful generation. This was a God who did not put up with sin. And this was no place for a sinful man like Isaiah to stand. And that's when Isaiah said, "One of those seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. Now, the altar was the place where sin was sacrificed for. And the seraphim touched that altar to my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And the only reason you and I know that is because Isaiah lived to tell that story, because he was indeed forgiven. Folks, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And it's a fearful thing because God is holy, and we are not. And the first petition that Jesus says we ought to put in our prayer is that that difference will continue to be hallowed or set apart upon the earth. That even God's name would be revered upon the earth. That it would be spoken of only in the highest respect and with the highest honor. That it would be worn as a badge of honor and grave responsibility by his people who were given God's family crest to wear upon our chests. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. God's third of the great Ten Commandments say, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Why? Because God's reputation is on the line. Every time God's name is thrown around. Think of all the times you hear your name being battered around. What do we do when we hear someone talk about us? Now, I don't mean talk to us. I mean talk about us. Maybe they don't even know that we're listening to them and we hear them mention our name. What do? We listen in. Why? Because we care about what people say about us. We may say we don't care, but we care because it's our reputation that is either being complimented or being dragged through the mud. God cares about his reputation, and we should care about God's reputation as well. We should pray that his name won't be dragged through the mud. That's what Jesus says. Jesus says this is the first thing we should pray for, that the name of our Father, which art in heaven, would be hallowed upon the earth, that it would be respected and reverenced and honored as it should be. Honored as being the name of a good, good, bad, our Father, which art in heaven. We should care about that. Now, many of us who have or had good, good dads upon the earth, we understood that. Or good, good moms. Good, good moms and good, good dads. You talk bad about me and I might not like it, but you talk bad about my dad, and them's fighting words. Why? Because my dad deserves more respect than that. He's a good, good dad. And God deserves more respect than all our dads, after all he's done for us. Amen? Especially in going so far as to give up his only son for our deliverance from our sin. We're going to remember that in just a little bit. But why do we do that? Didn't we do that just last Sunday? We did. Why are we doing it again this Sunday? We do that so that we and the world will never forget, and that God's reputation will live on and be given the honor and respect it's truly due, the honor and respect he truly deserves. That's what Moses actually reminds God of. When Moses comes down from the top of that mountain with those two freshly engraved stone tablets, the first three commands on those tablets being, "I am the Lord thy God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And what are God's children doing as Moses comes down the mountain with those very commandments in his hand? The children of Israel are already playing the whore and worshiping the golden calf. And the Lord said to Moses, I've seen these people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you. God was ready to wipe those people out and start all over again. But, the Bible says, Moses implored the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent did he bring them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Think about your reputation, Lord. Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven, and all this land that I've promised I'll give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever. And with those reminders, the Bible says the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. The Lord listened to Moses' petition that the Lord do nothing to tarnish his own reputation. And the Lord listened and relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his own people. That's a powerful prayer. And it was based upon Moses' desire that the Lord's name would not be dragged through the mud. And Jesus says we should pray that the Lord's name won't be dragged through the mud as well. And we should especially pray that we won't be one of the ones doing the dragging. You've probably seen and heard the Lord's name being dragged through the mud all the time nowadays. It's hard to make it through a single day without seeing the Lord's name being disrespected in one way or another. In fact, at the end of this very service, we're going to ask all of us to remain with our families or online with our friends. And we're going to ask ourselves to discuss a few questions, ways that we have seen and heard the Lord's name being dragged through the mud nowadays. And I hope you'll take 2 or 3 minutes to discuss that, because it's a tragedy. But then to follow up that discussion with this one, what are you and I doing that may be tarnishing the Lord's reputation as well nowadays? And how might we better honor the Lord's name in what we do and say today? Because each new day, we're given new opportunities of either joining the world in trashing the Lord's reputation or joining the followers of Jesus in honoring it and praying that it will be honored in the lives of others, and in the lives of ourselves as well. People are watching us, and they're listening to us, and the name of the Lord our God is either being dragged through the mud by us, or it's being honored according to what people see and hear coming from us. In this day of social distancing, I've got to get my sermon illustrations from any place I can. And Gary McRae texted me this message this week that showed a long, long line at a McDonald's drive-thru right now. You know, McDonald's is one of those essential businesses that just has to remain open. And the writer of this article that Gary was forwarding me, below the picture of the long McDonald's drive-thru line, the writer said this, so I was in the McDonald's drive-thru this morning, and the lady behind honked at me and flipped me off because I was taking too long to order. So I paid for her food. I moved up, and she leaned out the window looking all crazy at me because the teller told her that I paid for her food. And she felt embarrassed. But the article didn't stop there. The writer went on to say, when I got to the second window to get my food, I showed them both receipts, mine and hers, and I took her food too. I paid for it. It's mine. Now she has to wait even longer in line. And the last line says, she's going to learn today. And she probably did. But I hope there wasn't a Christian symbol of a fish on that guy's back window, and that what she learned was what kind of rascals Christians can be in this world as well. Folks, we're writing the gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that we do and by the words that we say. And men, they read what we write, whether faithless or true. So, what's the gospel going to be according to you? The world's going to drag the Lord's name through the mud. It's up to you and I to clean it up and make it shine again. And we can do that, Jesus says, by putting first things first. And right up front, at the start of our prayers, before we begin asking for anything, pray that God's name be hallowed in our lives and in the lives of others. Now, there's an old story, I don't know that it's true, about a deserter who was hauled in front of Alexander the Great for the administration of punishment. And according to the story, Alexander the Great asked the soldier, "What is your name, deserter?" To which the soldier replied, "Alexander, sir." At which point the emperor rose off his throne and said, "What is your name?" And the deserter once again said, "Alexander, sir." At which point, Alexander the Great became livid and said, "Change your ways or change your name." You and I wear the name Christian. Brothers and sisters of Christ, children of our Father, which art in heaven. We need to act like it. And by acting like it, hallow His holy name. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And may nothing we say and nothing we do cause the world to think otherwise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.